Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Hi church, it's my privilege to encourage us in our giving today, and I'd like to do so by looking at one of Jesus' most popular miracles, that time when he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. The most common way of hearing this story is that Jesus broke the bread and then he gave it to his disciples, who then gave it to the people. And I'm sure that's how you've heard it too, because that's how I've often heard it. But Mark 6 verse 41 actually tells us, Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up towards heaven and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the 2 fish for everyone to share. What Mark is telling us in his account of the story is that the bread never left Jesus' hand. The resource was always in his hand. And church, what I'd love to encourage us with is by saying the resource is always still in Jesus' hand. There's always more in his hand, always more that can be distributed to the people. And in these times we live in, the default thought can be, oh no, the bread is going to run out, the income is going to run out, the resource is going to run out. But let's remember that the resource has never been in the hands of our economy or the hands of our financial climate. The resource has always been and will always be in Jesus' hand, the hand of the one who keeps on giving. So today, as Christ's disciples, let's carry the same posture that his first disciples carried. That is, of ones who take the resource that Jesus gives and distribute it to where there is a need. The verse tells us that he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. Let's be the kinds of people who recognize that the resource that Jesus blesses us with isn't just for us, but also for where there is a need. And we know that here at Thrive, there is a big need. It's to move people towards Jesus. It's a need that can only be met by the power of His Holy Spirit and the faithfulness of His followers who give generously. So let's be generous today, knowing that when we do so, there will always be resources in Jesus' hand. There are so many ways that we can give electronically. The banking details for both our Edenvale and Boksburg campuses will come up on the screen, as well as our QR codes for SnapScan, which you can scan even right now on the screen as I speak. We also have the really easy way of giving online, which you can do on our Thrive app or on our website at thrivechurch.co.za. If you're watching on our online platform, you can click on the Giving tab on the right-hand corner above me, which will take you directly to our website. Whichever way you do give, let's remember, during this season, there is always resource in Jesus' hand, and we have the privilege of distributing it to where there's a need. Let's pray as we give. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that in your hand, there is always more than enough resources, more than enough bread. May we lean on your provision today as we recognize the privilege of giving towards a need, and may you bless us abundantly as we do so. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Easter Sunday at Thrive Online. It's amazing that you can join us. It's amazing to have you with us on Easter Sunday. It's such a special day, this, in the life of our church, and of course churches and Christians and Christ followers all over the world, as we celebrate and as we remember the resurrection of Jesus. Welcome. So glad you can be with us. And wherever you're watching, we're glad that you're able to do so. Easter Sunday, such a special day in the life of our church. And just so you know, this message was pre-recorded before lockdown. As we anticipated lockdown, we decided to pre-record this message. So just so you know, we haven't flouted government's regulations. We recorded this before the lockdown, and we're so glad and so grateful for technology that allows us to be together even now on Easter Sunday as we're in a lockdown period. By the time you watch this, you'll be 17 days into it. And I know, we know, for the introverts, this might feel like the best party ever. You might have thought this lockdown is the most amazing time ever. But for the extroverts, I'm pretty sure you're battling. If you're like me, you're struggling. The extroverts, we need prayer. We need God to help us through this. Extroverts, hang in there, because the coronavirus really has changed our lives, hasn't it? I mean, who would have thought, for example, that toilet paper would become the new Bitcoin? It's real. That's what's happened. It's a reality. But we got to roll with the punches. We got to keep our faith and alive, and we got to keep pressing on, and we got to see this season out. Thank you for being with us on Easter Sunday. What an incredible time to be together. Church, have you ever had one of those moments, the aha moment? Like that moment where the penny drops, that moment when you realize what's really going on, that moment when you actually finally get it. Have you ever had one of those moments? Well, I had one of those moments in a season, actually, of those moments when I was 5 years of age. When I was five, I was playing out in a park just across the road from our house. It was a sunny Sunday, June afternoon in Cape Town, where I grew up. And the sunny afternoons in June in Cape Town are pretty rare, but it was one of those rare days. I was playing out in a field across the road from our house, having a great time. And across the road where my friend lived, he came out of his house and he invited me to join him in his garden. And being an extrovert and being just keen to get there, I just saw friend, I just saw his house, and I embarked on a 100-meter dash, down the embankment of the park where I was at, straight across the road. But as I ran into the road, I didn't look left, I didn't look right. I simply ran into the road, not looking at all, ran straight into the path of an oncoming car. The car hit me, and it hit me going 60 kilometers an hour and dragged me under its wheels for a number of meters. My parents were having a braai at the time, and they heard the sound of flesh on metal. They heard the sound of the collision and my scream. And my dad immediately made his way down to the scene of the accident. But miraculously, the first person on the scene actually was not my dad. It was a doctor. He took a quick look at me, declared me safe to move. And so my dad picked me up in his arms, loaded me into the back seat of his car, and took me straight to hospital where the doctors operated immediately. Apart from a very badly broken leg and an even more badly mangled foot, I was actually fine. And in the months that followed, I recovered and recovered pretty quickly, as five-year-old kids do. But in those months of recovery, I had one of those aha moments, one of those penny-dropping moments where things began to make sense. You see, until then, road safety had been some theoretical topic that my parents had spoken to me about, and it had gone in one ear and out the other. But in the months of recovery, the penny dropped. I had a few months of, aha, this is it. This is why road safety is important. I never understood the importance of road safety until that moment. Jesus' disciples, two of them at least, Peter and John, had a penny-dropping moment on Easter Sunday. We can read about it in John chapter 20. It says, early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, and she found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. We know that this is John that's being described here. He's describing himself in his own gospel. She said, they've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple, remember this is John, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. John tells us that he was the faster runner. Just slips it in there so we'll know it. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. Peter wasted no time. He went inside quickly. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. John 20 and verse 8 specifically tells us that until then, until the empty tomb, Peter and John really hadn't got it. Until my car accident, I really hadn't understood road safety. Until Christ's resurrection, until they saw an empty tomb, Peter and John didn't really get it. The title of this message on Easter Sunday is Until Then. Because I think Easter Sunday is a kind of an until then moment. It's an until then day, isn't it? It was only on Sunday that the picture began to make sense for Peter, John, and later the other disciples. Until then, they didn't really understand the times they were living in. But on Sunday, it was processing time. On Sunday, it was penny dropping time. They finally understood the times they were living through, and they finally understood what it was that was happening. They understood that Jesus would die, but now they understood that he would rise again as well. On this Easter Sunday, church, perhaps more than any other Easter Sunday in our generation or in our lifetime, more than ever before, this Easter Sunday is a moment for us to stop, to pause, and to consider the times that we are living in. It's our until then moment for us to stop and process what we are living through. You see, until this crisis, there's some stuff we didn't know and possibly didn't understand fully. But this crisis, this coronavirus crisis, has been an opportunity for us to understand more of life and the way it works. I love Soren Kierkegaard's quote. He said this, "Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards." I feel like that's such a profound thought for us at this time, that as we look back on what we've experienced in the last month to 6 weeks, we understand more as we look backwards. But at the same time, we've got to have eyes that are focused on the future, and we've got to live with eyes of faith towards the future. We understand more by looking backwards, but at the same time, let's remember to look facing forwards. Marie Curie encouraged us with this saying. She said, "Nothing in life is to be feared. It is only to be understood. Now is the time to understand more so that we may fear less." I feel like this is an until then moment. Until this crisis came, we didn't understand some things, but it presents an enormous opportunity for us to understand some important things. And Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, and the resurrection itself, I think has some incredibly important lessons to teach us about how to navigate life and how to understand the world we live in at this time. I think Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday offers some incredible lessons for us to process our world. I think firstly, the resurrection teaches us to make room for the miraculous. You know, until then, until Peter and John got to a tomb and they saw it empty, until Mary Magdalene was the first to behold it, until they saw an empty tomb, they didn't understand that a resurrection could take place. Now, they went to the tomb expecting to find a dead body. They left the tomb knowing that a resurrection had happened. Until then, they thought that death was the winner, but they left knowing that death could be beaten. Until then, Jesus was a suffering rabbi. They left the tomb knowing that he was a risen Lord. They left with their minds stretched, their paradigms shifted, and their understanding of Jesus expanded and enlarged. Until then, they didn't understand him in all of his fullness. All of this meant for the disciples that their minds would have to be stretched and enlarged. Their minds would have to realize that they had to make room for the miraculous. A dead person coming back to life, that's pretty miraculous. The disciples needed in this moment, as they saw an empty tomb, to make room for the miraculous. Sometimes, if you're anything like me, I can get stuck in one-dimensional, natural-only thinking. That all that exists to me is what I can see and understand. And in this moment, as the disciples arrived and they get this until then moment, they're thinking only in the natural. They're thinking, hey, we're about to arrive to look at a dead body. We're about to arrive to take care of a dead body. But in this moment, their minds get stretched and enlarged, and they have to make room for the miraculous. This resurrection teaches us that in these trying and challenging times, The lesson is we need to make room for the miraculous in our minds. We need to allow our minds to make room for what God can do miraculously. There are some things only He can do, church. Only He can raise the dead. Only He can do the miraculous. Only He can bring the miraculous provision we need for our families and for our businesses and for our churches. Only He can provide and sustain us in that way. Only He can stop the spread of this virus, and only He can heal people. Our minds at this time, in these seasons and in this time, the resurrection reminds us, hey, does your mind have room for the miraculous? Because if it does, you'll be trusting God at a whole nother level. Like never before, I'm trusting God for the miraculous. This season, this time has taught me to trust Him for the miraculous like never before. My mind is enlarging and expanding to take account of the miraculous. The resurrection reminds us, particularly at this season and time in our lives, that some deaths are necessary. Some deaths are necessary. You see, until then, until that Sunday, the disciples didn't understand why Jesus had died. But God knew that Christ's death was absolutely necessary. God knew that this death was the greatest exchange that would ever take place. God knew that the trade-off would be Christ's life for us. And God knew that this death was necessary. This season teaches us that there are some deaths, church, that are necessary. There's some deaths that have to take place so that new things can be springing up in our lives. In this season and in your life, are there some deaths that need to take place? For me, one of the deaths that has taken place, that has to continue to take place, is the thought, the illusion, and it is really an illusion, that I'm in control of things, that control is possible. It's taught me that I'm in control really of so little. It's taught me that control is an illusion. It's taught me to trust my supply, and it's taught me to trust my source. More than ever, what needed to die is my own sense of control. This has taught me also to put to death in my own life what I thought I needed in order to live meaningfully. Silly example, but it will illustrate the point. For me as an extrovert, I love nothing better than on a Saturday to get out there and to experience new places, go to new places, do new things, eat food in different places. And I feel like for me, that's a way that I live meaningfully, is to experience new things. Well, this lockdown couldn't be more devastating for that aspect of my personality. This lockdown couldn't be more difficult for somebody like that. Whereas on the other hand, my daughter Caitlin, she's 10, she loves being at home. A good Saturday for her is for her to get dressed up in some rather eclectic clothes, for her to start reading and crafting, and for her to shoot some hoops and watch a movie and drink some tea. And for her, that's paradise. For her, this lockdown is absolutely amazing. For me, who derives some meaning in my life from experiences of new things, this has been hard. And I've had to put that to death for the time being. What's it for you? Perhaps it's that control thing. Perhaps it's a way of living that you thought was healthy that you realize isn't. Maybe it's a dependence on entertainment that needed to die, or a dependence on people, or a dependence on yourself, or a need to be needed. What in your life has to die in this season so that God can resurrect something new in your life? You see, there can be no resurrection, no new life without a death. Let me ask you the question, what needs to die in your life so that God can birth something new in you? I think this season and the resurrection is so relevant to us at this time. We remember on Easter Sunday that every Friday leads to a Sunday. You see, until then, the disciples thought Friday is the end of the story. Until then, they thought death was the winner. Until then, they thought, hey, death, this is where it ends. But on Sunday, they realized that every Friday simply leads to a Sunday. They realized that Friday was necessary, but it's not where it ends. This quarantine and this lockdown period, it's been necessary. But can I encourage you? It's not where it will end, and it's not the end of the story. Sunday is coming. The resurrection reminds us that every difficult season, every disappointment associated with the season that we're in now will pass. I've been so inspired this last week as I've been reading about the people of London during the Second World War. People of London got bombed relentlessly by the German Air Force during the Second World War. And night after night after night, their beloved city would be bombed. And every morning after the bombing had finished, they would come out of their places, either their bomb shelters or their homes, and they would look at the rubble around them from the bombing. They would look at the carnage that the bombing had caused. They would look at it and they would begin to clean up the rubble. They'd begin to clean up the mess, knowing full well that the very next night they would be bombed again. But it was a way that they were resilient. It was a way that they kept their spirits up. It was a way that they kept reminding themselves, this too shall pass. I saw some incredible pictures the other day. They'll be on the screen of London during the Second World War, but then overlaid with that very same scene today. First picture you'll see is a picture of a car on Pall Mall Street that was bombed in the Second World War. That's an actual picture of a car after it had been bombed in the Second World War. But then overlaid with the incredible, incredible picture of the scene of that street now. It reminds us that the Friday is the scene of the bomb, but the Sunday is the picture of the street today. Second picture you'll see is of a picture of some people in a tube station. It's Bounds Green Tube Station. They were taking shelter from the bombing at this particular time that this actual photo of them was taken. And then in color, we see the picture of the tube station today. It reminds us that the people taking shelter from the bomb was Friday, but the color in the photograph is Sunday. It reminds us that every Friday has a Sunday. You see, until Sunday, church, the big picture in the disciples' mind was of a bloodied and beaten and crucified Jesus hanging on a cross. But on Sunday, the biggest picture in their minds got replaced. It got replaced with a picture of an empty tomb. It got replaced with a picture of a tomb with a stone rolled away from it. The picture in their minds changed. Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, it's a day of hope. It's a day where we look at the picture of the car on the street and the picture says it all to us. That yes, there's the tragedy of a bombing, but yes, there's the promise of restoration. Easter Sunday reminds us that yes, there was the tragedy, there was the brutality of a cross, but there's the promise of an empty tomb. Where once there was the devastation of sin and death, now, where once there was a bloody cross, now there's an empty tomb and a clean slate. Easter Sunday is filled with hope because it replaces the picture in our minds. No longer do we simply see a crucified Savior. We see the empty tomb of a risen Lord. For us to take the next step towards that clean slate, for us to take the next step towards that new story that God wants to write in our lives, we need to understand three things that Jesus said. If you don't have any kind of friendship or relationship with God, but you feel, even as this time online has been progressing, you feel God's drawing you. He's calling you. I want you to understand today that there's three things that Jesus said that we've just got to understand in this time. Firstly, Jesus said to us that He is the way. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. What this means for us is that if you and I, if we want a friendship with God here on earth, if we want a relationship with our God here on earth and into eternity, it starts with the person of Jesus. It all begins with the person of Jesus, and it begins with a decision about Jesus. You and I, we've got a decision to make about what we will believe about Jesus. Jesus said, secondly, that he who believes has everlasting life. He who believes has everlasting life. Not he who is perfect, not he who's got it all together. What this tells us, what Jesus is communicating to us, is that in this moment, in this time, your past, your performance, where you've been, what you've done, the things you've said, the things you've done, that's not most important in this moment. What's most important in this moment is what you believe about Jesus in this moment. Jesus said, he who believes has eternal life, not he who is perfect. Jesus wants us to believe something very, very simple about him, but very profound. He wants us to believe, he needs us to believe that he is and was the Son of God, that he lived on this earth for 33 years. He lived a perfect life. He lived a blameless life. He lived a sin-free life. Never once did he disappoint God. Never once did he fall short of God's holy standard, but he lived a perfect life for 33 years. And at the end of those 33 years, he submitted himself to the will of God. He allowed himself to be brutally crucified and he died. That's what Good Friday was all about. But on the third day, he was buried, and on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And that anybody who places their faith and their hope and their trust in him, in that moment that we decide yes to following Jesus, we now become a son and a daughter of God. And in that moment, we share with Christ in everything, including his resurrection. That means that whoever believes in Christ straight in that moment becomes a son and a daughter of God. And we share in the resurrection that Jesus had from the grave. What do we share? We share in the resurrection from our grave. The grave of our sin, the grave of our depression, the grave of our anxiety, the grave of our addiction, the grave of our poor choices, the grave of our past, the grave of the things that have held us captive. And with that, there is a next step for us to take. Well, what do we need to do? Well, it's as simple and clear as this, is that we need to remember that Jesus said that he stands at the door of our hearts and he knocks, and that anyone who hears him and responds in that moment, opens the door of their lives, opens the door of their hearts, he'll come in and dine with them and they with him. It means that as we respond to him, as we open our lives to him, he comes in and he takes up residence in our lives and he begins to mold us and shape us and work incredible things in our lives. If you would like to start that journey today, you can do that right now in this moment. And as we're in this moment, you can give effect to your decision. If you're watching on Church Online, by simply clicking on the raised hand, it's on the bottom right-hand side of your screen in this moment. And as you do that, you are opening the door of your life to Jesus. You're inviting him in. And the scripture says that he will come in and he will begin to take part in your life. He'll begin to save you from yourself, save me from myself. So if you're doing that this morning and this afternoon, whenever you're watching, if you're doing that in this moment, I'd love the great privilege of praying for you right now as you're making that decision and as you're clicking that raised hand. Father God, thank you so much for your love for us, for your mercy. Thank you for your selflessness, Father, that you would send your one and only Son, that he would be the greatest trade-off ever known to man, that his life would be exchanged for our sin. That, thank you, Jesus, that you submitted yourself to your Father's will, that you allowed yourself to be brutally crucified, died, buried, but that you were risen again, that God rose and raised you from the dead. Thank you for that. Thank you that in this moment, I can respond to you. I can say yes to you. I can open the door of my life to you and invite you into my life. And as I do so, I know that I'm identifying myself as a son and daughter of God. And then as I do that, I share in all of Christ's work. Thank you that as I do so, you're resurrecting me from the grave of my past, from the grave of my sin, from the grave of where I've been and what I've done, from the grave of anything that's been destructive in my life. Thank you for that. Thank you that you forgive me in this moment. Thank you that you begin to write a new story with my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you made that decision today, whether you were on Church Online and you clicked that hand, or whether you were watching somewhere else online, I want you to know that your decision counts. Your decision is completely and truly sincere in this moment. And if you made that decision, I want you to know that every single one of us at Thrive Church, all across, like wherever we may be watching, there are literally people in front of computers and TVs in this moment celebrating with you now, cheering you on, saying congratulations, the best decision you've ever made in your life. It's just the start of your journey. And I want to give you a next step in this moment, and that is to say, if you get to our website, thrivechurch.co.za, we've got some material there that will help you take the next step in your faith journey. And while we can't be together physically, we can be together digitally, and the website can help you to start to make that decision. You can also chat to us if you're on Church Online. You can also let us know that you made that decision right now and chat to us online in this time. What an amazing opportunity through technology to engage with each other. Church, this Easter Sunday, let's remember to make room for the miraculous hand of God in our lives. To remember that this is an amazing, incredible, unprecedented opportunity for us to understand clearly that there might be some deaths in our lives that need to take place. And lastly, to remember and be encouraged that every Friday has a Sunday. Thanks for joining us all through Easter weekend. And we pray for grace and peace to be upon you, that as we continue in this season of lockdown, that you would know the presence and the promises of God in a very real and special and tangible way. Grace and peace to you and your families. See you next week. Take care.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.